It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You are now listening to TDL on silverandblackpride.com.
Everybody, we are back. It is Tape Don't Lie. It is your favorite Raiders podcast, favorite Raiders channel, favorite Raiders everything. We are back. You guys already know what to do. Subscribe. This is your first time here. You know what I'm saying? If you hit the like button, if you like it, hit the dislike button. If you dislike it, you know, we like all engagements. Like we always say, you know, hit the like button. You know, if you want to comment, you know, leave a comment. If you don't like it, leave a comment. You love all engagement. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at @TheMarkJohnNFL for me and at @BDWilliams18 for BD. Make sure you hit iTunes. I know some of you like this on iTunes. So hit the subscribe button there for Silver and Black Pride Podcast, as well as Spotify, and download there. Also, last but not least, of course, that Manscaped. I know some guy commented he's never buying Manscaped. That's all right, man. You got to support. It's okay. You ain't got to buy the Manscaped for the people who are. Go ahead to manscaped.com, discount code TDL, and, you know, hook your dad up. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? It ain't got to be for you guys. You ain't got to do it. You know what I'm saying? Hook your dad up. Your dad might appreciate it. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, for the ladies that's listening, hook your man up. You know what I mean? So, a lot of crazy stuff going on, guys. We got a mailbag episode today. But, of course, you know, there's some wild stuff that happened, obviously. Definitely going to talk about that. Henry Ruggs had a horrific DUI incident that ended up, you know, killing a young lady. He was 23 years old. Very sad news. You know, very inexcusable type of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, he's definitely irresponsible on the side of Henry, especially going 156 miles per hour, all that crazy stuff. So, I mean, the Raiders, they lost it's another big thing happening to the Raiders. I think this is bigger than the Gruden thing, though, in my opinion. I think the Gruden was a little bit lighter. You know, this is like life and death type of stuff. I mean, Henry Ruggs is lucky to be alive. I mean, he's in a wheelchair today going to the court. So that tells you, I mean, who knows? I mean, even if he wasn't drunk, he got in that reckless accident, he wouldn't be playing the rest of the year, it looks like. So, but it just wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I mean, like, obviously we shouldn't even be talking about Henry Ruggs, like, football career.
For sure.
You know, there's a lot more that he's got to worry about as a man. You know, obviously he's still alive, but, you know, he's going to end up leaving behind his daughter for a period of, you know, however long he's incarcerated for this. And, you know, he seriously injured his wife as well, or his girlfriend as well. Mm-hmm. So it's just tragic on every end, every life that was left completely scarred, you know, in the wake of this disaster. So really unfortunate that it happened, with all due respect to the tragedy, you know, understanding that this is like a really big thing. You know, this is a football channel, right?
Yeah.
So I hope that people aren't, you know, watching this and like, oh, how could these guys jump to football, you know, and talk about like Zay Jones and stuff like that. But that's what this channel is about. And that's what our expertise is in, you know, is talking about football and X's and O's and stuff like that. And there's probably better people that could talk about, you know, this crisis and, you know, what that means for Henry Ruggs and stuff like that. But we're the Raiders Tape Don't Lie film channel, right? So, you know, we have a mailbag episode, but I do think it is pertinent to talk about what this offense could do missing Henry Ruggs. Like, who's going to step up? How is the offense going to augment itself losing, you know, their deep threat?
They're going to give Zay a chance. I mean, I think some people got mad at me on Twitter because I said that, well, they only have three receivers. I'm like, well, I mean, they have got some guys in the practice squad. But they're going to give Zay Jones every single chance that he get. He's going to get at least a couple weeks. And, you know, he's not going to get, like, get pulled real quick. I think they're going to give him a shot. I think Carr likes him a lot. I think Carr knows that he knows the system. I mean, he's been getting open this year. He hasn't really had a problem getting open, you know, and he really hasn't had a problem getting open in his career. My whole thing is him catching the football consistently. That's always my thing with Zay, and why Zay hasn't really, you know, didn't really hit in Buffalo, because he got drop issues. You know, it's not that he can't get open. He just got drop issues. It's not that he doesn't have the work ethic or, you know, the type of thing. And I think he'll be a fine fill-in. I mean, he's not going to have the talent that Henry Ruggs has, of course. He's not going to be that type of player or that dynamic, but I think Zay is, I mean, he's solid enough. You know, I think they just got to, you know, if Darren Waller's coming back, they got to just kind of go back to what they used to do, you know, and kind of just feed Waller a little bit more than they used to. And, you know, they still got Renfro there and they still got Bryan Edwards. So, I mean, there's three guys right there. I mean, Patrick Mahomes wishes he had three guys. So I don't think it's the end of the world, to be honest, because, you know, we don't know. I mean, they pick up DeSean Jackson. I mean, it's not going to be, he's not a drop off from Henry Ruggs at all as a player. So, and even he's 34, I mean, he still could do what Henry Ruggs was doing at a pretty high level. So we don't know what they're going to do with the receiving room, but I think going into this game with the Giants, I think they're going to roll with Zay. And they're going to, you know, give him a shot, and he's going to be he's going to be the Z or the X or whatever they want to put him, or whatever they want to do. But one thing that is interesting, though, that I really haven't highlighted on the show too much, is how much Greg Olsen is using Hunter Renfro outside. Hunter Renfro against the Eagles, he lined up Y 55% of the time. And then against the Broncos, he was 50%. And he's never been over 50% ever in his career. So I thought that was interesting. And I think that might be something that might be highlighted a little bit more going forward.
Who's lining up in the slot then more often?
I would say Ruggs and Edwards.
Ruggs and Edwards, really.
Yeah. And it's not that he's not – see, it's weird, because it's not that he's not in the slot. Yeah. He's in a condensed formation by himself. So it'll be like a 3-by-1, but he's condensed. So right. Technically, it's the slot technically still.
It's close, right?
So it's a little bit of like more of like a Cooper Kupp type of thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's more they're using him like in a Cooper Kupp type of way. And Greg Olsen comes from Sean McVay. Yeah. So I think that maybe it might be him getting featured a little bit more too than we realize. So it might not just be like, I mean, Zay might be on the field more, but we might see Hunter Renfro on the field more too, especially if they feel like Hunter Renfro is more than just a simple shifty slot guy, and they feel like he can be more than that. He could become a Cooper Kupp. So that's something to watch out for too.
That's interesting analysis. You know, I didn't think about that as far as like what we're seeing, the difference in alignment and in the offense. So that, mm-hmm. I mean, that's great. Thanks for it's a great little nugget right there. What I want to say about Zay Jones, okay, is he a drop off from Henry Ruggs? Yes, right. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have as much juice, but like that's basically everyone in the NFL when we're talking about Henry Ruggs, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't think that he's going to be as good as Nelson Aguilar, but I think it'll be like diet Nelson Aguilar. You know what I'm saying? Like he's going to have a connection with Carr. You're going to see some clutch plays from him. You're also going to see some miscues, some drops or whatever it is from Zay Jones.
Yeah.
You know, but it might be a little bit of a roller coaster, but there's going to be highs for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be times where it's like, okay, yeah, Zay Jones, great job. Right. So I think that people might be sleeping on him a little bit. Watch out for Zay Jones. And we've seen, like, you know, after the Gruden thing, we saw some guys with their concentration be shaken. You remember Bryan Edwards, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But who was locked in that game though? Hunter Renfro,
right? Yeah.
Hunter Renfro is going nuts. Like, to your point about featuring Hunter Renfro, we've seen him, you know, be able to keep his focus despite, you know, a big mental obstacle for them to come over. This one's even bigger this time.
Yeah.
We're gonna find out a lot about this team. So many of his teammates from college, like, you know, Drake and Jacobs and Leatherwood. There's probably a couple, maybe like one or two more in there, but so many of his teammates from college obviously have known him for a long time. The people that Henry Ruggs has been around, you know, in his career and made strong relationships with, you know, they're going to be affected by this on both sides of the ball, whatever it is, even if it's coaches, if it's people working behind the scenes, you know, everyone's got to be able to lock in and focus. We're going to find out a lot about the Raiders for sure.
Yeah, man. I mean, I agree with that, bro. I think people are sleeping on Zay Jones a little bit. Like I said, I mean, he's been getting open all year. I thought he dropped that ball against the Bears that caused the interception on that play, but a lot of people will say he didn't drop it. They wouldn't count that as a drop, but I still think he dropped that. But I think that, you know, he's able to get open because he's open on that play. He beat Marlon Humphrey on the cover zero play. You know, he made a big catch this past 2 weeks ago against the Eagles. I'm not sleeping on Zay Jones. I think Zay Jones can get open. And I think that's all that matters. And I think that's a key thing in the NFL is, can you get open? And, you know, you'll take a couple of drops, I guess. I mean, that's how Aguilar is surviving in his whole career. And he came in here and that's why he was able to put that trust with Carr, because he got open. Yeah. So right, that's sure. The key thing, man. As long as he can get open, we're good.
All right. So let's just jump into the questions.
All right. Here.
Mailbag episode. We appreciate everyone who sent us questions. We're going to try to get to as many of them as we can. The ones that especially are about, you know, some things that we could talk about with a good amount of expertise, because, you know, we're watching the film on these things. So the first one's for you, Marcus. This comes from Raider Nation for Life on Twitter. We appreciate you, Raider Nation for Life. He says, can you assess Brandon Parker's play with Olsen calling plays through two games? Haven't really seen him mess up all that much recently. Talking about Brandon Parker.
I would say Brandon Parker, he's pretty up and down. I would say he's getting a lot of help. All right. So, I mean, they're chipping a lot. They're helping him out a lot. You're seeing a lot of chips any way possible they could help him. You're seeing it from Renfro. You're seeing it from when Waller was playing. You're seeing it from, you know, some of the other wide receivers too. Everybody's helping out on those chips. And since everybody's helping out him out, that's why you're not seeing as much of him, like, being in that position where you're like, oh my God, he's getting messed up or he's getting blown up or anything like that. But I mean, when it's like one-on-one and it's him and somebody else, he's not winning that often. The last two games, I'm trying to pull this up. On the last two games, he's given up. He's given up 10 pressures in the last two games. So I haven't charted. I could be wrong. I could be, maybe my charting's too raw. You know, maybe you guys could say that, but that's what I have. I thought Von Miller kicked his butt pretty good. I know some people believe that he stopped Von Miller. That's a lie. That's not true. And Josh Sweat gave him the business a couple times too. And then he's blown some blocks in a run game as well. So, I mean, he's definitely not somebody that you want out there at right tackle for a whole season. They're helping him out a lot. I don't know how much they could be able to help him as much though with Ruggs gone. I mean, they need Waller. They need Renfro. I mean, who's going to be chipping as much? You know what I mean? So they're going to have to figure that out. I don't know. Maybe you throw Fluker out there. I don't know if he's ready. But it's something you got to think about, because you're not going to be able to chip anymore. You're not going to be able to have those guys and have, you know, you need Waller and them to release, basically. You know, we need them running routes at this point. So.
Right. All right. Let's jump into the next one. This one is from Shashi. I don't know if I'm pronouncing your name right, Shashi. He's always hitting us up on Twitter. Great follow right there. Follow Shashi Jerum on Twitter. He asks, very happy about the defensive improvements. What can the Raiders do to shore up their run defense without taking away from their pass rush. All right, so this is about Raiders' run defense. I don't know what to say about this. Gus Bradley doesn't emphasize it. He wants a penetration style defense that's going to create some splash plays, tackles for loss. But sometimes there's going to be big run lanes. It's boom or bust in the run game. That's just the way this defense is designed. Like, they're not going to ever emphasize stopping it, especially if it takes away from their pass rush. And right now, what the Raiders are doing best on defense is rushing the passer. Why? Because everyone's focusing on getting upfield so quickly, right? That's why they're rushing the passer well. So taking, like, stopping that, getting them out of that mindset of constantly attacking, that's just going to hurt the pass rush. They're not going to do that. Gus Bradley won't do it, you know, just from his last four, watching him for like the last 3-4 years and Chargers going through all that tape. He's not going to sacrifice the pass rush ever to stop the run. Unless you're playing Derrick Henry, right?
Yeah.
You know, like maybe if you're playing the Browns or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, okay. But other than that, not going to happen. And like, look what this defense has been able to do rushing the passer this year. Like, it's night and day difference from like what it was last year. One of the things that we're going to have to sacrifice is going to be the run game. That's just the way it is. I would say though, Denzel Perryman, I wrote an article about how they kind of have a dilemma on their hands because he's such a good run player, but he just offers nothing as in terms of pass coverage. Mm-hmm. So figuring out at some point when to sub him out of the game, when, even though he is like making such a big impact, especially just coming forward, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's also one of the things. You take him out of the game, now all of a sudden, I think the run defense would also take a big hit. There's a lot of plays where he's saving it, you know? So, yeah.
Okay.
Having a linebacker who can do that, get off blocks, you know, when these offensive linemen are going to be coming up, that's just the way this defense works. Offensive linemen get up on linebackers. They got to be able to beat blocks. Denzel Perryman doing a great job of that. So as long as teams are in it and they're running the ball, Denzel Perryman, he's going to be part of that solution. All right, let's jump to the next one here. This is coming from Tier on Twitter. He says, should the Raiders try to upgrade the O-line by giving Martin and Fluker a shot? What do you think? He's also asking about the trade. We obviously didn't do this episode until after the trade deadline is passed, yeah. Right? So he's also asking about, you know, maybe a trade, but let's just talk about what the Raiders can do with Martin and Fluker, if those guys deserve a shot at this point.
Martin's not getting the shot, so I'm kind of going to let that go. As much as I would like for that to happen, it's not going to happen. So they're going to roll in with James all year, you know, whether they like it or not. I, on the flip side, though, I think Fluker will get a shot this year. I think he's going to get a chance. I think at some point they're going to lose some game, and it's going to be because of the right tackle getting destroyed. And I think that's going to cause DJ Fluker to play. And because I'm telling you guys, I mean, they're not going to be able to chip as much as they used to with Ruggs out. And they're not going to be able to keep the tight ends in line as much with Ruggs out. They need more wideouts and they need more targets to these guys. So he's not going to have as much help as he used to. I mean, maybe they have a game plan for it. Maybe I'm wrong. But I just don't see that happening with that. So since I don't see that happening with them having that kind of look or that kind of movement or, you know, that chip, I expect DJ Fluker to play at some point. And Fluker's not bad. Fluker's a good player. He's not bad. He's not going to need a chip, basically.
Let's look at it like this. Okay, you're saying there's going to be a game where some edge rusher gives Brandon Parker the business. Right. And then that's going to force this coaching staff to make that change. Let's look at the schedule. Obviously, this next week is against the Giants. I don't think they really have a super dangerous edge.
Don't sleep on Olajuwon. Don't sleep on him. He's pretty good.
Olajuwon is playing well this year, right? The rookie. Okay. Yeah. All right. So
he comes off that side, too.
All right, so we'll see about that. Kansas City Chiefs have been really struggling to rush the passer.
And out because I've been watching the Giants, they move Leonard Williams around everywhere. So he might play defensive end one time. You never know.
Okay. Right, you never know. To take advantage of the mismatch right there.
Yeah, they might do that.
So you're saying that this could be the game.
I mean, it could be. I mean, I know it won't be against the Chiefs. I know unless Melvin Ingram plays, but
Bengals.
Sam Hubbard, he'll give him some business. Sam Hubbard.
Oh, come on.
Not Sam Hubbard. Trey Hendrickson. That's what it is. Not Sam Hendrickson. Sorry. Trey Hendrickson is pretty good. He's good over there. But I don't know if that's a guy.
But week 13 is Washington. And
no, I'm thinking Cowboys. I'm thinking Cowboys, the Cowboys game.
Before that. Okay, yeah.
Because that's before the Bengals game, right?
After the Bengals game, before the Washington game.
Yeah, so then they that's when they he's gonna have to face either Lawrence or Gregory. So
yeah.
It's gonna be one of those games, bro. Like, especially because I mean the Cowboys is gonna be their toughest game going forward, I think, of all the games they have left on their schedule. That's gonna be the toughest one, is playing beating the Cowboys.
I know the Chiefs are struggling, but they're gonna play them tough.
Well, yeah, okay. I understand that.
Division games are
division gonna be tough. Yeah, but you know, I don't know about this Chiefs, bro. I'm like you. I'm gonna wait till like the whole season's over before I get like really comfortable with saying that they're not good. But I still think the Cowboys are the biggest test, and I think that's like the type of game where like, you know, where fans would get like really mad and freak out about everything because they just lose to a really good team, and they just watch Brandon Perry get dominated by two guys because they just keep switching sides. So that's my thing. I think that's gonna happen. And we might see a right tackle switch at some point.
Awesome. I agree. I definitely think the switch is going to happen. It needs to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So here's the next one. This is a twofer. So one for me, one for you. Mikey Mack. Okay. I mean, I'm guessing that's how you say his name. Mikey Mack on Twitter. It's like a Boston accent. What's the linebacker rotation look like once Morrow returns from injury? Same with guard position with Richie returning. So I'll jump in with Morrow first. I know that his status is still up in the air because he suffered some kind of lower leg injury, mm-hmm. and he's been on IR this entire time. We're not really hearing, at least I haven't heard a lot of news about what his injury is and like when he'll come back from it or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Excuse me. So I don't know if Morrow is, because when I did come up with that idea where I'm like, well, when Morrow comes back, you know, Perryman, Morrow, there's going to be a rotation there. Some people were like, is Morrow even going to come back? So it's not for sure. But if Morrow does come back, I definitely think that he's going to be, at the very least, come in on third and longs to start, you know, and kind of let Denzel Perryman continue to play these rundowns, early downs. The way he's playing it, but definitely, a second and long against a team that passes on second and long a lot, third and longs, that's going to be Morrow. Whenever he does return, that'll be Morrow's time to shine out there. What about guard with Richie? Do you think he's going to get in the rotation?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if Richie comes back, he's going to play. I think he'll definitely replace Simpson now that, I mean, Leatherwood's playing right guard. He's definitely going to replace Simpson for sure. You know, I think Simpson has played well the last 2 weeks. I think he's taken off a little bit. I think he's way more comfortable in the system that they're playing in the run system. He's playing a lot way better, way more how I expected him to play than, you know, how he played at the beginning of the year. Even though I still think that I think Simpson's more of a byproduct of PFF grades for his view, because I don't think really a lot of people watch the Raiders offensive line in depth that way to make it like an actual in-depth like decision about who's playing good and who's not. So I think, you know, a lot of Simpson's, you know, things is more about PFF grade and what PFF is saying, because they never give him a good, like, he'd be having pancakes and I don't get their grades. So I don't know how much, I think that plays into a lot of his perception of how he is playing. And then of course, you know, the Cam Hayward game, he just got just demolished. Cam Herbert just embarrassed in the whole game. So, I mean, there's no excuse for that one. But, you know, I think he's playing a little bit better than, you know, people are giving him credit for, in my opinion. I don't think he's getting the credit. We're all looking for Leatherwood. We're all looking for Parker. And Simpson's just you know, doing his job and being steady at the guard position. And I think Leatherwood's, you know, getting in there where he's getting steady too at that same position. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I mean, but if Incognito comes back, he'll definitely help out. I mean, who knows how healthy he is, or you know, he'll be better than Simpson, I think, for sure. But I mean, he has to stay healthy too. So,
yeah, I agree.
Because another question, I mean, if Incognito comes back, do they move Leatherwood back to right tackle? Is that their, I mean, because they obviously don't like Luminor. They don't like him for some reason. So I don't know what he did. I don't know. Because he plays right tackle too. So, like, you know, I don't know. It's a weird thought process. So we'll see.
That's interesting. Luminor, don't sleep on him. I mean, who knows? It's great to have depth.
Yeah.
Guys who have been starters or have started games in the NFL, who are your third and fourth option. Like, that's great to have regardless. So, I mean, Illuminar being like, what, the fourth guard? All right, great. Let's do it.
Exactly.
All right. So this next one, I think we could both have a crack at this one.
Okay.
This guy, Sean G. Lynn on Twitter, he says, how much does Bisaccia have to do to be retained as the head coach? Or do they interview outside candidates regardless? All right. So I thought about this a lot from the beginning.
Okay.
Right? I think if the Raiders like make the playoffs, they're like look strong in the playoffs, they're competitive in the playoffs, right? The best case scenario is just keeping the entire coaching staff together. Like Olsen as an offensive coordinator, Gus Bradley as a defensive coordinator, which Bisaccia, like he keeps his job. Everyone just stays put. But what are the chances of that happening? Like if the Raiders go make a playoff push, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like look strong. They look competitive in the playoffs, regardless of the final outcome. One of these coordinators is getting a head coaching job, right?
Not necessarily, because none of them is like. There's no hot name. None of them are a hot name. I mean, there's just so many hot names in front of them, these guys.
So it's possible. It's possible.
It is.
It's possible that they stay together, and then that would be it. But someone, if the Raiders have success, there's one of these guys, Olsen, Bisaccia, or Bradley, has the mojo, right?
Mm-hmm.
If that's Bisaccia, keep him, right? But if it is Olsen or if it is Bradley, one of those guys needs to be considered. And hopefully Mark Davis is tapped in enough to figure out who's really behind the success of the team. And if it is Bisaccia, again, please keep him around.
Yeah. I think if they keep Mayock, I think they keep Bisaccia. I think if they keep Mayock, they keep Bisaccia. I think it depends on how they finish the season, man, which is,
yeah,
is
obviously.
It's just, and that's the thing with me with this question is like, you know, they're in first place right now, guys. I mean, all this crap that's going on happening and all this stuff that's going on, the Raiders are in first place.
Right.
And the AFC is looking like if you go 12-5, that you can get a one seed. That's what the AFC looks like right now. And I mean, there's a lot of things that's happening right now that, I mean, the Raiders, especially a lot of Raiders fans aren't taking in that, like, where the Raiders are right now. And I know all this stuff is happening, and you know, we don't want OBJ because he might mess up the system or whatever. You know, I just feel like, I mean, this team is like in prime position to get a bye. I mean, it's not like the other years where they're like, you know, they're 4-3 at this point, and you know, we're just hoping that maybe they can get hot and get to a wild card. Like, no, like if they, let's say they win the next two games, right, and the Bills just lose one of them, right, or if the Titans, I mean, the Titans lost Derrick Henry, and the Raiders are, I mean, there's right. it's a lot for this season to in front of them, and I mean. That's why I think if they keep stacking up some wins, which I think they can, I know this is something that's a big blow to them. But I mean, there has been, I mean, of course, nobody's like killed somebody, but you know, there has been like situations where somebody, you know, has something crazy happen and then they ended up, you know, they keep winning after that. So, I mean, I don't want to use the, you know, Plaxico Burress, but Plaxico Burress shot himself. And they were like 9-1, and they still finished pretty. I mean, I guess they didn't finish that well, but I mean, it's still awesome. But you know what I mean? Like, there's things that happen, and teams still find a way to get it going. As long as the Raiders got good leadership, and they're ready to go, and they got the troops going, man. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're in a good spot. I mean, they'd have to really fall apart, and which is possible for Rich not to get the job, in my opinion. So,
yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a tough situation, like,
yeah,
problem solved, really, no matter what.
Yeah.
But I would like to see if they are successful. I would like to see this coaching staff stick together. That'd be cool. Going on to the next question, it's from Michael Riley. He hit up the TDL email.
Okay.
And he says, how to avoid the usual second half free fall. What does the offense need to do to avoid elite defenses figuring out what they're doing? And what does Gus Bradley do to adjust once he faces elite quarterbacks? So I'll let you take that first part of the question. What does the offense need to do to make sure elite defenses aren't figuring them out? That's the question.
I think what they have to keep doing is adding new plays, which they've been doing since Greg Olsen's come back, is just keep adding new stuff. I think if they keep adding new plays, new looks in the run game, and just keep everything fresh. I mean, Greg Olsen starting over, but I mean, there's still things that, you know, he used to do that Gruden likes to do. And there's things that, you know, maybe he might do a lot different. I think the play action is going to keep these teams off guard for a little bit too. I think it's going to be hard for, you know, teams to figure out exactly what their play action game, when do we come up, do we not come up, how much do we respect it, do we not respect it, do we, you know, that kind of thought process is going to go into defenses' minds. And they just have a lot more to worry about. I mean, before the previous years, I mean, Gruden had his go-tos on third down. I mean, he never really differed from those certain third downs. He was calling certain plays on third down all the time. And, you know, teams knew that by the time they got to like week 11, week 12. We haven't seen that type of, you know, repetitive play calling yet. You know, I don't know if that's ever to get there, but I think that's what's going to keep this team fresh, especially the run game. I think the run game versatility, which is part of the main reason why this team has fallen off the cliff the last couple of years, is because they were a running team that could not run the football at all. Right. At the end of the year. I think even in 2019, they were like 30th in DVOA in the last 8 games of the season. And the same thing happened last year. So if as long as they can run the football, and it gets colder, guys, because that's the key to everything. It's going to get cold. And they got to go to Kansas City in week 14, and they got to go to Cleveland week 15, right? And they're going to have to run the football those days.
Yeah.
It's not going to be as much as, you know, maybe it won't be as cold. I don't know. Who knows? But I'm especially Cleveland. I'm guessing it's going to be freezing in Cleveland, like 15 degrees. In December, yeah. On week 15, it's going to be super cold. And
I think that the weather differential is definitely going to be something to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
This thing being from Vegas, you know, just like over the years, the data playing in cold weather, how that affects them.
Yeah.
Great points about the run game. Got to travel. Mm-hmm. Especially in cold games for sure.
Yeah.
Jumping to the next part of the question. He goes on to say, what does Gus Bradley do to adjust once he faces elite QBs? It's just getting a lot more multiple in his calls. You know, he likes to be a cover three guy. Obviously, we've talked about that a lot on this channel. But when he goes up against, like, you know, Ben Roethlisberger's and, like, the really the veteran quarterbacks in the NFL, you see him get into a lot of disguise. A lot of too high. He has, you know, a full cover four package that we've talked about on this channel before, cover five, like, you know, basically two man. They have a couple different ways that they'll play that, and playing some different cover one looks, you know. So it's not as robust of a coverage package as, like, maybe, you know, your standard NFL defense. I think that really the key is Jonathan Abram, Trayvon Merrick, those guys, those guys just doing a better job disguising their intentions a little bit. You know, if it is single high, if they're kind of cheating over, if they're dropping down to the box at the last second when the quarterback takes their eyes off, you know, puts their eyes down to get the snap, whatever it is, I think they can just, you know, kind of tweak their disguise a little bit. And that's going to help them against these elite QBs as it goes down the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, do you want to add anything to that?
No, man. I mean, I guess from like a quarterback perspective, I mean, the quarterbacks that they are playing, I think it's going to benefit them to be more, you know, especially this doing the next string of games come up after this, after playing Daniel Jones, which I'm pretty sure they're gonna just play cover three this week. For the next 3 weeks though, with like Joe Burrow and Dak and Patrick Mahomes, I would expect to see more versatility in the pass coverages. Especially against Dak. I expect them to do a lot what the Giants are doing because the Giants really just did what the Chargers used to do. So I expect a lot of that. And I mean, same with, you know, the Bengals. You know, I expect a lot of them trying to, you know, stop that passing attack that they have with Jamar Chase and all those guys. And the same thing with, you know, the Cowboys, which is going to be interesting how that works. But I agree with that.
Okay, so here's the next one. This one's for me.
Okay.
This is from T3. He says, always a pleasure to watch. Listen to your analysis. I learned a great deal. My question is for BD, as he was originally skeptical of Nate Howe's ability to step in right away and become an effective slot corner. How do you explain why he has been able to defy the odds, especially given that his tape at Illinois apparently not encouraging in terms of coverage skills? All right, so... So I was skeptical, right, of Nate Hobbs coming in. What I did say about him coming out in college is that he's a great tackler. He was very physical, the way that he took on blocks, wide receivers, tight ends, you name it. As a corner, I was very impressed with those things. Just the physical nature of his game. He was not good in coverage from the game that I watched in college. Like, you know, like, it is what it is. It's a fact, okay? And it's not like Nate Hobbs this year has not been good in coverage either. Like, other than the catch that he gave up that was almost an interception for a second, right? Like, there's like maybe like one other good play on the ball that he's made all year. Other than that, like, he's just not getting tested very often. I think eventually they're not going to be able to hide him anymore. There's going to be a team that, you know, goes after him. I mean, the Bears went after him a little bit with Allen Robinson in the slot, and Allen Robinson, you know, kind of had his way there in that matchup, definitely won that matchup. So Nate Hobbs is not covering well. He's out there, he's rallying, he's making open field tackles, he's doing what the scheme is asking of him, not like more than that. But, you know, just his physicality, his ability, you know, to like, just accelerate through ball carriers. I think it's like really great technique when it comes to tackling, especially in the open field. When you can do that, when you can run, when you can stick your face in the fan, just, you know, coming down and making some run fits, he's doing a great job at those things. And you always have a chance, if you're doing those things, you always have a chance to make a tackle for a loss, right? Mm-hmm. To make like kind of like a splash play that maybe like a stop on a third down. You have a chance to do that. So and those aspects of the game, he's playing really well. Would like to see him continue to improve and maybe start making an impact in coverage, because we have not seen that so far. I am happy with the way that Nate Hobbs is playing, for sure. And if some people want to say that I was like wrong about that, that's fine. I really don't care.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, a lot of Nate Hobbs' buzz is PFF grade. I mean, that's really what it is. You want to keep it. It's kind of like where his buzz is coming from, is from his PFF grade. And PFF with coverage grades too. If a guy makes a good tackle on something, that's going to help his coverage grade. So that has a lot to do with his coverage grade with the way he's playing. So, but you're right. I mean, we'll see how good. I mean, that's what I'm saying. We're gonna get to these good pass offenses. We're gonna see how good the secondary really is, to be honest. And we're gonna get to once we get to play the Tyler Boyds and the CD Lambs, you know, we're going to find out how good, Nate Hobbs is too. And I mean, we're going to find a lot about Corey Littleton too, I think pretty soon here too. And Denzel Perryman is going to get attacked a lot. So I would expect that to happen more often on this defense, it's them to attack the inside and attack Nate Hobbs and those dudes. So we're going to find out how good they are pretty soon here.
Yeah, for sure. Last one is a pretty funny one, pretty cool one. So Miguel Martinez says, how did you guys meet and get the idea to create Tape Don't Lie?
Oh, that's a good one. All right.
I just saw Marcus doing his thing on Twitter one day, and I hit him up, DM'd him, and we started, talking about football together, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
You're right. You're 100% right.
Leaving anything out there? And then, at that point, once we were talking about football regularly, we just decided, hey, we might as well make this thing into a more regular kind of thing on YouTube, kind of just have these conversations about Raiders football scheme, X's and O's.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add on that one?
No, not really, man. It's basically it. We watched Nelson Aguilar together and
right.
Yeah. And then basically kind of took off from there. It was basically how it happened. And then we just kind of put this together and we had a first episode. We kind of just did a little film breakdown on some stuff, and now we're just grinding and trying to get better every single day at some of this stuff, learning more coverages on my side. So that's what we're doing, I guess, man. And God just took off. it's basically what happened.
Right.
But I put double and checkdowns in there, and now everybody wanted to see what I was talking about, I guess.
Yeah, So you had that viral tweet. You put TDL on the map with that viral tweet. Oh, okay.
God. Yeah. And it's always funny because if I would have put the Patriots are playing cover 7, look at this play, this man match cover 3, whatever. Play 3 man match, that would have 2 likes.
Yeah.
Right. Me and BD probably still have 2K subscribers or some shit. Sorry, I said my bad. It's true though, man.
That's funny. But. All right. I think there's a couple other things. I don't know how much we want to jump into them.
Okay.
Peterman got released.
Yeah, he's back on the practice squad though. I think they needed some space. They needed to get some players up there.
Uh-huh. Need some space for sure. It's a waste of a roster spot, honestly. Like going to the game with 2 quarterbacks activated.
It's ridiculous.
Right. The next thing is Markell Lee. Got brought up to the final.
50 yeah, games. Yeah. He's on the team. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is all special teams. He's not going to be starting on defense.
Yeah.
In any capacity. If you think Denzel Perryman and Nick Kukowski are getting burned out there, oh my God, it would be real bad if Mark Lee was out there. But maybe he could play Sam linebacker though. If they need to get into like a base, like a goal line, I could see him doing that. I think he would do fine there, but he's not doing that. He's for special teams only.
Okay.
Anything else before we get out of here?
There's the OBJ rumors, Odell Beckham. He's probably gonna get released. There's Sean Jackson too. Talked about that. I think the Raiders could be in on both those guys. I know a lot of fans don't want OBJ because they think he's a diva and they think he's a locker room cancer. I don't know if that's true. I think he just wants the football. And I think most people that are skeptical, they're the guys who think that Carr doesn't throw to Cooper. I think that's a little bit of it. Some guy said something to me about like somebody's gonna make a video of Carr missing Beckham, and I'm thinking I don't know about that.
That would definitely happen. That would definitely happen for sure.
Who has all 22 like in Raiders Twitter besides like me and you and Ryan Holmes?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but
you're not to be one of us at this point.
But Odell Beckham, that would be filthy, right? Right. That would be filthy.
I'll be excited because I know because if you guys, because that's the thing. I know a lot of people don't, they, I mean, they, you know, he has a lot of misconception about him, especially playing with the Cleveland. People think he drops the football. I mean, I don't know. I should do a tape breakdown because there's the tape. He's still got it, bro. And he's still got the great hands. He still can make plays and he gets open. And he's I think the biggest spot that he would help the Raiders is our red zone, because they would have somebody that can get open at all times, one-on-ones, right? Sure. You felt comfortable with Akeem against any corner in the NFL of him winning that one-on-one, or him making the play, or him making that jump ball, or, you know, that's what I think. I think he would unlock Carr a lot more than people think. I think it would be like a Stephon Diggs with Josh Allen type of thing.
Yeah, for sure. I think the possibility is there for that to happen. I think for some reason Baker Mayfield has kind of devolved into like a see it, throw it quarterback instead of like throwing with anticipation and timing. Mm-hmm. But we have actually seen Carr improve in those areas over the years, over the last few years. So I think there's no question Odell Beckham would be very productive, like explosive, you know, threat in this offense. Mm-hmm. Like if he played for the Raiders, like he's taking a slant to the house, like he's going to be able to do that. Right? Like
that's the kind of
player he is. Right. The only question is obviously like the personality, if that's a fit. Maybe there is a team out there that is a great fit for Odell Beckham and his personality or whatever it is. It seems like maybe Cleveland isn't that place. Right. I mean,
let me add some, I'm going to add some context to him being mad in Cleveland. So I know it's a lot has to do with Baker not throwing him the football, which is true. And Baker like missing him or whatever people want to say. I think
is it true?
I mean, Darius Slay and Chris Harris said that they legitimized the video, but I thought some stuff in that video was a little crazy. He was open on some of them, but like, you know, some of them there was like, you know, where like there was safety dropping. And like it would have been a tight window. He would have like anticipate that, like he's like, yeah, some high level anticipation throws that he would have to do. I think there's some legitimate to that. But I do want to give an example of a wide receiver's upset in the system before, and his name is Stephon Diggs. That's why Stephon Diggs was in Kevin Stefanski's system in 2019, and all he did all year was cry about how he's not getting the football and how he's not getting the throws and all that things and all those type of things that was happening until he got moved. Right. And then he got moved and now he's not Devo no more. So, cause I don't think Odell Beckham's not like an off the field dude. He's not like a bad guy that way. I mean, it's more like he's more of a guy. He's a little arrogant and he thinks that he deserves the football. And, you don't like a guy like that. I guess you don't, but
here's my thing, though. Here's my thing, okay? This is abysmal. Oh, my gosh. But Odell Beckham, right now, he's only played 6 games, okay? He's been hurt, banged up in at least 2 of those games. Like, he's only been, like, played a full 4 healthy games.
Yeah.
So far this year, okay? Yeah. And he's leading the Browns in targets. So, obviously, like, he is being targeted more than any other player out there.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, whatever you want to say from these, like, you know, we don't know the progression, and it seems like Stefanski is very progression oriented, mm-hmm. more so than designing plays to get this a star talent, you know, the ball, which doesn't make any sense why that would be a thing. But clearly, like, that's just the way his offense works. I'm not saying anything bad about Odell Beckham when I'm saying his personality, clearly, like, it's not working for him in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. He just got to find the right locker room. And I agree. Like, even with Stephon Diggs, the way he's being used, now he's not a diva anymore. But you could say that it doesn't have to be necessarily about, like, the way that they're being used. Maybe they just need to be in a locker room, right, where they're 100% on board. And it's okay if they're not getting targeted as long as they're winning.
Yeah, that's true.
And it takes special locker room to get a star player like Odell Beckham or something like that to be like, it doesn't matter as long as we're winning, right?
Yeah.
So wherever that locker room is, if that's the Raiders, awesome. But, you know, if that's not the Raiders, though, we would hate to see Odell Beckham become like a distraction because he's such a rock star.
That's true. Probably go to the Chiefs or something anyways.
Yeah, hopefully he goes to Chiefs and just like, why am I not getting the ball? You know, I'd love to see that. They just hang a safety on top of him at all times. And Patrick Mahomes escapes from a clean pocket. And, you know.
Patrick Mahomes is stressing right now, man.
He's stressed.
The Giants said that they were disrespectful to him. It's kind of funny, actually. And he just kept going. He didn't stop. He wouldn't take the check down. He just refused. I mean, there's sometimes they'll leave a check down with like 15 yards to run. All Patrick had to do was throw it to the guy. That guy could have ran like 16 yards before anybody got to him.
Right.
And he still chucked a D. So yeah.
That's funny.
They're in trouble, bro, over there. Anyways, but yeah, that's just my thoughts. You know, I maybe he could be, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I think that they should. It's more because they're number one, first place in the AFC West. They're number two in the AFC. And if they add a player like Beckham, they could go, boom. that's just how I'm looking at it. That's my thought process.
They want to pass the ball, right?
Yeah.
They have proven that they can get, got multiple mouths the ball, and feed them and feature them depending on like what the matchup is. They've proven that. I think the offense, like the player, it makes sense, you know, like from that perspective, like if it's just Madden and we're just plugging them under the Beckham into the offense, like, oh yeah, we're gonna go nuts,
yeah,
with this, right? Like, so I agree, like the player, it makes plenty of sense,
yeah, I agree, but I got nothing else, bro. We're good,
All right, so that's it from Tape Don't Lie Raiders Film Channel. We appreciate everyone for tuning in. Thanks for catching up with us. Follow us on Twitter at BDWilliams18 is my Twitter handle. Follow Marcus at the Mark John NFL. Also, make sure you enter the promo code TDL at Manscaped for 20% off plus free shipping. It helps support the channel. Also, get yourself a holiday gift for someone that you care about. That's it, Raider Nation. We appreciate everyone for tuning in. Hope that you enjoyed this mailbag episode. As always, be cool.
Peace.